Why are you playing all these sound? Why are you playing all of these sound bites completely unnecessarily?
Well, I said if you didn't make it back in the room, I was just going to keep playing Friday till you showed up.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Even
if we both got in trouble for it, because I don't care. It would be worth it for me.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
You
and I together haven't been in the office together, so, you know.
Oh, man. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show. Final hour goes now. This is the Fan Upstate.
You didn't stub your toe or anything in the hall?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I made it. I was spoken to.
Okay, so you didn't just start wandering? Because I almost did that a couple of times when I walked out.
No, I was spoken to. Your leg's just giving out on you, dude. You're just falling apart.
No, that earlier thing, that's just lack of sleep. That had nothing to do with my leg. I just got dizzy for a second.
Apparently, there was a podcast headline yesterday. a news story headline. And the headline was Luka Doncic speaks on going from a Hawk to a Maverick in the 2018 draft. And it's like the most shared basketball headline of the last year.
Oh, okay. It's a political thing.
No.
Hawk to a Maverick.
Maverick.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
All right.
Speaks on going from a Hawk to a Maverick.
So that whole thing where you said that my mind was in the gutter in the last segment, you're absolutely wrong.
Hey, that's a pop culture phenomenon. That girl's got a podcast now, and it's like the third most listened to podcast.
She's very rich now.
Oh, yeah. You know what my favorite part is? And I'm going to give her this. She is putting her 15 minutes to wonderful use. She's taking the money that she has made. By the way, the podcast name, if you haven't heard about it yet, the podcast name is Talk Tua. I don't care what you think. That's a great name. All right. Talk Tua is a great name for her podcast.
What's the subject matter on her podcast?
It's just everything. It's just another person with a podcast where she kind of discusses everything. But here's the thing. She's taking the profits from the podcast, and she bought her grandma a house. The grandma that helped raise her bought her a house. And then the rest of the profits she's taken, and she's helping fund and prop up no-kill animal shelters all around her community. That's awesome.
I hope she's keeping...
There are so many people who have done so much worse.
Keeping some for herself, too. I mean, you know...
Oh, I'm sure she's probably fine.
You got to take care of you also. Was not aware, so how many episodes have you listened to?
Zero. But okay. I've heard a couple of segments. She's not bad. You know what she is? She doesn't... I've heard a lot of people that start these pods, and they go on these pods, and they, like, pretend to be super experts at everything. She's not. She's like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Help me out on this. Like, it's great. She really is. I don't even know the girl's name, to be honest with you. She's just a Hawk Tua girl. But I am going to say, and I mean it, she's remarkably down to earth. Like, she doesn't pretend to be a damn expert. Haley Welch is her name. I've just been informed. She doesn't pretend to be like a crazy expert.
Wow,
in everything.
Someone just knew that.
Hawk 2 was trending, and I didn't think you were going to get to it on With the X.
Well, it's not trending on my trending.
So it is on mine. So I went and looked at her. Her name's Haley Welch, and all I can say is she's super down to earth and legit, and I respect it. I really do.
Let's look at my personal trending, because I'm not going to use any of these. Crunchyroll is trending, Bill Murray is trending, Trump Girl is trending, and so is Garth Brooks. I'm not using any of those. First of all, you don't know what Crunchyroll is.
Yes, I do. It's an anime streaming service.
Okay.
Come at me like that.
You don't want to talk about what Bill Murray, why he's trending.
Nope. Nor Garth Brooks, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Real bad day to wear this shirt.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. I got dressed on the dark. I saw a black shirt. I grabbed it because I already had my black hat out.
You're countering what you wore yesterday. Yeah. So
I put on sleeves today.
Which, I mean, a lot of people are upset about the guns being put away.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I got home yesterday. I got back to the house. I got home. The wife got home from work last night, and she goes, "Did you wear that to work?" And I went, "Yeah, yes and no." I said, I did not specifically wear it to work. I told her the story, and she goes, "You just wanted to wear a tank top on the air." And I went, "Ma'am, you have known me for coming up on 5 years. This is the first time I've gone sleeveless on the show."
I think it was, I thought at the time, and I still kind of do, that it was an attention grab. and that you
yes,
wanted,
you know, and again, yeah. you have known me for 5 years. How many times have I done something? If I want attention,
it's for
I
the
just
show,
go on the
man.
Air and talk about how much I love me.
It's for the show.
All right? I'm like, Tio, you know, I love me some me.
You know, I'm not going to wear one of those for the show, but it's for the show.
I am going to start instituting Tank Top Thursday, though.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, Tank Top Thursday is a thing now. So go ahead and get yourself prepared. Great one. Tank Top Tuesday is
can we
a,
go
is
Skins Friday then?
No.
Can we just progressively wear less from Monday to Friday? I mean, you know.
Nope.
If we're going to do it, let's do it.
Nope. We're going Tank Top Thursday from now on. Tank Top Thursday starts next Thursday. It's official. And I would be lying to tell you that it's not at least a little bit because of the fact that it's an excuse for me to buy some basketball jerseys.
I might have to pick up a bro between now and then.
Pick up a what?
A bro.
A bro?
Yeah.
You mean pick up a bro? Like have somebody help you get a jersey?
You're not a Seinfeld guy, apparently.
No, I am. I don't know what we're talking about here. I could be wrong.
look up Seinfeld bro. That's just Google it that way.
Well, I know my next break's going to be then.
No, you could do it right now. Trust me.
I'm obvious.
Typing is not that hard.
I'm obviously going to do that. Seinfeld segment, The Bro. Can we play the audio from this segment? I get it. Me, you, and the bro. That might be the new name of this show. You may all tune in next Monday for the debut of the Me, You, and the Bro show.
I took that out of utility because I wasn't about to get flagged. Because we'll get flagged for Seinfeld for sure.
Good call. Yeah. Good call. Good call. Good call. Either way, still hilarious. Still hilarious.
We are not doing Tank Top Thursday. You can do Tank Top Thursday.
No, we're doing Tank Top Thursday.
Yeah, you're not the boss of me.
Starting next Thursday.
I mean, you can do that.
Tank Top Thursday is on next
Thursday. Even back in my prime, tank tops were just not my thing.
You still got it, Zoe.
I would crop top it, though. I would do that because I had the old
Zeke Elliott.
The midriff was good. And it was Ohio, so it was popular at the time, but not anymore.
The old Zeke Elliott, baby. It's a tough look to pull off if we're keeping it above.
I can't do that because they did feed me more. That's why I can't do that.
All right, we got a lot more sports that we need to fit in here in the final hour of the show, the final hour of the week, ladies and gentlemen. We have got our playoff bracket set for Major League Baseball. Tim Kirkjian telling Scott Van Pelt a couple of days ago why he loves this bracket. I could not agree more. Could not agree more. There were 12 teams that ended these playoffs. I didn't think the Braves had a shot, but I've also been instructed at this point that I am in a very short list of people who didn't think the Braves could get it done. I thought there were 11 out of 12 teams that had a chance at least making. Now, there is some chalk, right? Like the Dodgers and the Yankees, the Phillies are easy odds-on favorites to this day to win the World Series. But I am going to say ultimately the Padres are the hottest team in the back half of the Major League season. They won almost 70% of their baseball games after the All-Star break. It was the best winning percentage in the second half of any team in baseball. The New York Mets are the definition of get hot at the right time. They did. They made a late surge. They were able to knock the Diamondbacks, a team that was in the World Series last year, out of the postseason in the dying breaths of the season. You, of course, have the Cleveland Guardians, a team that has not gotten at any point this year anywhere close to the amount of respect that they should have gotten. And it's unbelievable that they did not. This team ended with 92 wins. 92. There weren't but a handful of teams that got to 90. They were one of the best out there, and they're not being discussed nearly enough. The Detroit Tigers, definition of grit. Definition of grit. This team had about 9 different spots that they could have just rolled over and ordinarily in years gone by would have. This year, they just kept pounding. Like, it's impressive. It's impressive. This Major League Baseball postseason, and I mean this, this Major League Baseball postseason has the potential to be one of those iconic postseasons. One of those postseasons that we talk about for a very, very, very long time. And I think it will. All right, let's do this. Let's run to the break. I know we're about a minute early, but when we come back, Lonzo and I take a look at the college football schedule for the weekend upcoming, give you some of our thoughts. Then the segment after that, we will take a look at the NFL schedule for the weekend upcoming, give you some of our thoughts. And then I was going to say go home. I'm going to stay here as long as I can today, I think, because of the whole not having power thing. So stick around. College football schedule coming up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone is open, 844-326-3663. The text line opens, 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read those on the air. And don't forget our voice notes feature is active on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, and click on the little microphone button. You can leave a 60-second voice message that comes directly to me as soon as you push send. The Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the microphone button, and leave us a voice note. Listen, I want you to do that all weekend long. If you're watching a game and you have a thought, send it. If you're watching a reaction and you have a thought, send it. If I am wrong about something over the weekend and you want to call me out, send it. If you knock back 1-3 mini bourbon and Sprites, send it. Have at it. Let's have some fun with the voice notes feature. I want it to be a huge part of the show moving forward.
Hey, what's the best cola to mix with a drink?
Depends on what you're drinking.
So it does
now,
vary.
I will say I'm a Sprite guy. I'm a Sprite guy. Bourbon and Sprite, if I want to water down the bourbon, right? And ordinarily, I'm a mixed drink guy if and only if it's like, it's going to be an extended period of time, right? Like if I'm just having a drink before bed, I'm just going bourbon. But if I'm out with the boys and we're going to be out for a while, bourbon and Sprite is a go-to for me. A Jack and Diet's always a classic.
So there's nothing obscure like RC Cola or something.
Depends.
Like that.
I will tell you right now, Jägermeister and a Beta root beer, mwah, goes together like PB&J, man. It's spectacular.
Did you say a bead?
A Beta. A-B-I-T-A. It's a beer company down in New Orleans, but they also make a root beer that is the best root beer you'll ever have. Bar none, hands down, I will drive 30 minutes out of my way to pick up a six-pack of a Beta root beer. It's the best. Put it with the Jägermeister. It gives it this little bit of a creamy taste to it. Mwah, it's the best. It's phenomenal. Love it. All right, let's take a look at our college football schedule for the weekend. SEC play down at Kyle Field, College Station, Texas at noon. Number 9, Missouri is taking on Texas A&M in this one. Of course, the Texas A&M Aggies, 4-1 in the Southeastern Conference, involved in a battle. Their only loss, Notre Dame, 23-13 in week one. They did knock off Florida 33-20 and Arkansas 21-17. They've got the Missouri Tigers coming to the house. The Tigers have effectively played one top 20. Well, not effectively. They have played one top 25 team, but it was number 24 Boston College. And that was the week after BC knocked off FSU to earn that ranking. They won that game by 6. They turned around and were in a scrap with the Vanderbilt Commodores that they were very fortunate to get away with the win. This game is interesting, great one, and it's interesting to me because I think Mizzou is overrated. I know that Texas A&M is. I like Mike Elko, the new coach for the Aggies, quite a bit, but I do think it's going to be a year or two before they get the stench of Jimbo Fisher off of that program. This game, to me, much like South Carolina this weekend, one of these two teams has an opportunity to make a statement this weekend. I'm back and forth on it. I think I'm going to go in this one, though. They are at home. I'm going to go with the Aggies at the house. Great one.
I'm going to go with the higher-ranked team and go with Missouri.
Okay.
Because, as you said, the stink of Jimbo.
It's real, man.
It is.
It's real. It honestly, and I've said this a couple of times, I think Jimbo Fisher was lucky to win the 2013 championship with FSU. He only did it because he had Jameis. But when he left, he started the downfall of Florida State that they are still suffering from.
Fights with the guy who's now in that state up north talking about how great Jimbo Fisher was. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it turns out he wasn't. SMU's at Louisville. This one's in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, obviously, with a loss to Notre Dame. And again, when a team gets upset like Notre Dame did against Northern Illinois, they're usually very dangerous the next week. 31-24, they knock off Louisville.
Are you skipping the games from tonight?
No, I mean, you got Michigan State, Oregon. Oregon's going to win that game by 30 points.
Well, the Syracuse UNLV is interesting.
It is.
So?
It is because of the transfer quarterback story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because UNLV obviously trying to stay undefeated without Matthew Sluka, the transfer quarterback who just left by Felicia the entire team. Yeah, I guess that it, you know what? You are right.
And Syracuse is not a bad team.
Not a bad team at all. By the way, this one in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. UNLV is 6.5-point favorites with their backup quarterback stepping in. Syracuse only lost a 2-point L at the hands of Stanford. Remember, they knocked off Georgia Tech the week after Georgia Tech beat Florida State as well.
Who's the quarterback for Syracuse?
Syracuse, that would be one Kyle McCord.
Sounds familiar.
Are you rooting for him as a transfer guy?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
You're not like a you left my team?
No, we all understand why he left.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of pressure, and not everyone can handle that. So I'm good with him leaving. And if he can make Syracuse a decent team, which he has, I think the addition of him has really helped that team. I mean, if I won't root for a quarterback who leaves my team, how could I have rooted for Joe Burrow?
That's true.
I mean, there's been a lot of guys who come there and they leave and they go back. Texas. Who's the starter who's hurt now?
Quinn Ewers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Former Buckeye.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, so there are a lot of guys who do that sort of thing.
It's just a question. It's fair.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. I'm not hitting Rashad's certified hater mode when it comes to that.
SMU is at Louisville. SMU, of course, rocked FSU last week. You know who else has rocked FSU? Everybody they've played.
Yeah, you won't give SMU any credit at all. They've only lost one game.
If they win tonight, I will.
Okay.
If they win, then they lost to BYU. And it was a 3-point game. But Nevada, Houston, Christian, and TCU, who ain't the same no more.
When you pick a team at the beginning of the year to be in a championship game, you're going to root for them.
No, that's fair.
So I'm rooting for SMU.
They beat Louisville tonight, I will feel differently about SMU, without a doubt. All right, looking down the rest of the schedule, Pitt is at North Carolina, favored by a field goal, and that one Wake's at NC State. NC State only favored by 4 over Wake Forest. I like the cover there for the Wolfpack in that one. Auburn is at Georgia in the South's oldest rivalry. Georgia coming off of the Alabama loss. Keegan, I hope you're not listening right now. This is going to be gratuitous violence. This is going to be a massacre. With all due respect to Peyton Thorne, who I like a lot, Georgia is favored by 22, and it's my favorite cover of the weekend. Georgia's winning this by 35.
Georgia not used to losing in the last few years. So maybe, especially in the regular season, maybe mentally it cost them a little bit.
Yeah, but the other side of that is they're ticked off, A, and B, they understand that they can't not just lose again, which they can't. They also got to start stacking style points now, right? Like, they have to start. Because if they get into a spot where they make the SEC championship game, and let's say they end up squaring up with Bama again, and let's say that Ryan Williams does Ryan Williams thing again, and let's say Bama beats Georgia again, and Georgia ends the season 11-2 at that point, 11-2, depending on what happens in some of the other conferences, may put you in a spot where that 12 seed's in doubt. Georgia's got to start stacking style points now, and if that's the case, this is an opportunity to do it. Auburn's not ranked as of right now, and it's because of that loss to Oklahoma and the fact that they're 2-3. They also lost to Cal and Arkansas. They got to win this game by 35. This is going to be gratuitous violence. Ole Miss. I play
for the Ole Miss Rebels.
That's where Mike Tyson went to school. Ole Miss.
He's training for a fight that's coming up. I don't know if you knew that.
A fight.
He's going to knock him out. You're going to have to come in and say, you're going to have to come in and apologize. You are.
Blue Box bets bet on that?
I look forward. No, because we don't do that anymore. It's not my fault. But
we can bring it back for one.
Why? Just for
fight.
One. Only one that you're completely certain on.
Correct.
So if there's any uncertainty, then you're like, nah, we're not doing
it. You seem very certain about it too.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ole Miss on the road at South Carolina. This one, obviously, right down the road in Willoughby, Columbia, South Carolina, the site of this battle. We had Chris Miller, host of the pre- and post-game show for the Gamecocks, on the show earlier, and I said, you know, it's very interesting. A sign of success for me is the fact that the nation, not just us, the nation is discussing this as a game that South Carolina can win at home with the extra bye week to get everybody healthy, or as healthy as you can get them, with the extra week to game plan, etc. The fact that this game is even being discussed as a possible win for South Carolina is a win in and of itself, but Ole Miss does come in as an 8.5-point favorite. That line is down. It was 9.5 earlier in this week. It has started to trend back down towards the Gamecocks of South Carolina.
I don't remember what you picked at the beginning of the year when we were making our picks for South Carolina, but has your view of the team, of the Gamecock team, changed over the last few weeks and how they played?
Yes and no. Because
we didn't know what they were going to be with a freshman quarterback, with Spencer Rattler moving on, with Xavier Leggett moving on, with some of those guys moving on. The defense, which was suspect last year, is playing really good this year with a bunch of veterans on it. And the offense is getting better every week and would be pretty close to amazing right now, maybe, if Lenora Sellers hadn't got hurt. So, I mean, I'm just curious about what you think.
They are playing. When we came into the year, we said three things. We want roof, ceiling, and realistic expectation, right? Roof, ceiling, realistic expectation. They're playing at what I thought the roof was going to be, right? They're playing at genuinely what I thought the roof was going to be. I said coming into this game that South Carolina's first 4 weeks, if they came out of that first 4 weeks at 3-1, they were playing towards the roof. Not only did they come out at 3-1, but they came out 3-1 and should have been 4-0 after the first four. They're 3-1 and competitive in the one I needed them to have, and with the exception of the Old Dominion game, dominant on the road against Kentucky, put up a fitty spot on Akron like I wanted them to. They are right now playing at the roof. This weekend, to me, will tell me that they are either going to consistently stay at the roof or they just had a real good start. But like I said, the bye week, the extra week to prep for Ole Miss should, to me, negate the emotion that Ole Miss is going to bring into the stadium. But this is also why I've said this is the most important game for the crowd to show up, for Willie B to be swaying since the LSU game.
It's been a rough week in the state of South Carolina.
Yes, it has.
And all the surrounding states. And you talk about respites, going to a game, just forgetting about all that kind of stuff, including people from this area.
Yeah.
I mean, you go down and just forget about all that and have a good time. Do they end up ranked if they win this game?
Yes. Yes, they do. If they win this game, South Carolina will be not just in the top 25, I'd say inside the top 20. I think I could put them at 18, 17 if they win this game. I could put them at like 12, 13 if they win this game. The problem you're going to bump into is, as Chris Miller pointed out, that loss to LSU. You get a win over a top 12 team in Kentucky, yeah, you're inside the top 20, maybe sitting around 15, 16, somewhere in that ranking. To me, it is more about because next week you got Bama. And with all due respect, Bama's winning that football game, all right? So, you know your next L's up next week. Go out there and get you a top 15 win this week against Ole Miss. Get yourself ranked, because then what do you have? Oklahoma, courtesy of Auburn, we know that's a beatable football team. Texas A&M coming to Columbia, that's a winnable football game. Vanderbilt, Mizzou, who I don't know about you, I think Mizzou is vastly overrated at number 9. I don't see any reason Missouri's a top 10 team in the country. That's a winnable football game. Wofford, winnable football game. At Clemson, We'll find out.
All right. I just want to say that South Carolina has been told that there's no way they could beat Alabama before with the words that in the way that you've been saying it. But if you have a chance at Alabama, it would be only building off the momentum of beating Ole Miss.
And I'd feel a lot better about that.
If you beat Ole Miss, then whether you have the talent to do it or not, then the belief is there. Because you know what you did against LSU. You know you should have won that game. If you beat Ole Miss, then the players are going to have the belief that they can beat Alabama. Whether they do or not, we'll see. But they're definitely going to be more competitive to come off of a win this weekend. I think South Carolina can do this.
Listen, I'm telling you as a neutral guy, right? Like as a guy with no skin in the game other than happy wife, happy life. With a guy with no skin in the game, LSU, Ole Miss, they ain't Bama.
Well, yeah, I know. But you can't get there till you get past this weekend.
That's fair.
And I think they're going to beat Ole Miss.
Clemson at Florida State.
You never said who you thought were going to win.
Oh, Ole Miss. I'm going to pick Ole Miss and very much hope I'm wrong. South Carolina to cover. Let me be very clear. South Carolina's going to cover. I could see this going. I could see that this is a field goal wins game. This is a South Carolina wins 27-24, Ole Miss wins 27-24. I actually think it's going to be more close to like 35-32. I think it's a field goal game. South Carolina covers. I'm going to pick Ole Miss, but let me say, it's a very tentative pick. Very tentative pick. Clemson at Florida State at 7 o'clock. Clemson wins. Clemson covers. The over-under in this game is 46.5. Let me put that in perspective for you, great one. Alabama is at Vanderbilt. That game's over-under is 54.5. West Virginia is at Oklahoma State. That game's line is 64.5. Utah State's at Boise State. They got that running back there who's a Bronco. He's a good runner. That line is 65.5. Clemson might set the over by themselves in this game. It's 46.5. Clemson might get to 47 by themselves.
All right, so here's the thing. Yes, Florida State, really bad this
year.
They're really bad this year. But here's the thing. You got to hope, if you're a Clemson fan, that Clemson doesn't come in thinking that. Oh, this is a pushover. We're just going to do what we've done the last couple weeks, no problem at all.
Because I would worry about that if last year didn't happen. But I think as much as Dabo's not going to say, oh, yeah, we're carrying the weight from last year, I'm going to go ahead and say Cade and the boys who were on the field last year, when they genuinely believe that they should have won that game over Florida State, I honestly think there's going to be a little payback. There's a little retribution. There's a little vengeance coming in this one. I think Clemson might hit the over 46.5 by themselves. I'm dead serious. I'm putting the bank on Clemson minus 14.5. I might alt line it up to like 16.5. They're gonna wreck Florida State. Tennessee's at Arkansas at 7:30. Michigan's at Washington at 7:30. USC at Minnesota same time. Undefeated Duke coming to Georgia Tech. Duke got North Carolina last week. They are a perfect 5-0. Granted, North Carolina is by far and away the highest quality opponent they've played. They're at a Georgia Tech team that after the Florida State game, I believed I was right about. They've lost 2, 1 to Syracuse by a field goal, 1 to a good Louisville team. Duke, Georgia, how weird that Duke, Georgia Tech is actually a must-watch contest for me at 8 o'clock on the ACC net.
Well, because it's for the shared lead of the ACC, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure is. Miami is at Cal. Only interesting because Miami's equipment truck had to leave Coral Gables Monday and will get there tonight for tomorrow's game. How much do you have to be paid to drive Miami semi-truck from the tip of Florida to Cal? $1,000.
You get paid by the hour. You're having a good time.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. NFL thoughts next. We have walked you through the biggest games of the collegiate football weekend. Let us now advance to the National Football League. We talked about it earlier in the show. Atlanta now in sole possession of first place of the NFC South after a 36-30 overtime victory last night over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in which Kirk Cousins threw the ball 58 freaking times for 509 yards and four touchdowns. Let's get to this Sunday's slate in the NFC South. The Carolina Panthers at 1-3 are on the road. Out to the Midlands they go when they take on Caleb Williams and his Chi-Town Bears. The Bears hosting the Panthers, as Rashad Beard pointed out yesterday on the show. A little bit disappointed because this was supposed to be the big game, right? This was Bryce versus the guy that Carolina sold the farm to Chicago and they used to bring him in. Instead, you're getting Bryce versus the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, who will get the nod for the Carolina Panthers. Look, this is, as Rashad said yesterday, and I agree wholeheartedly with him, this is a winnable game for the Carolina Panthers. That being said, you lose Shaq. That's a big blow. Josie Jewell is out as he rehabs an injured wheel as well. Defense is a little, you already lost Derek Brown. Defense is hurt.
Defense wasn't playing that well anyway.
Yeah, but I mean,
this is one of those where Andy's just going to have to outscore them. Can he?
So the question mark is, can the Carolina Panther offense, which has looked dramatically better the last couple of weeks. We had a commenter on the live stream when Rashad was on with us yesterday who said the reason that they benched BY and went to Andy Dalton was not because they wanted to bench Bryce, but basically they needed Dave Canales to show that his offensive system and strategy was going to work. And, I mean, if that was the case, mission accomplished, right?
That, and the team was starting to quit because they were tired of all the blame.
Also that.
You got to hope that they're still mad about that, because if they start getting complacent, and they'll go back to playing how they were before.
I would agree with all of that. That being said, there's only one question, which is the Caleb Williams that we saw last week, the Caleb Williams that led the Bears on four touchdown drives, though he was not directly responsible for them, is that Caleb Williams the real Caleb Williams, or does he regress to week one and week two Caleb Williams? If the answer is the former, Chicago wins this game. If the answer is the latter, Carolina's got a shot. I'm going to take Chicago at home. They are 4-point favorites. You get 3 for being at the house, meaning the Bears are considered just a point better than the Panthers. They are one game better on the record. Lonzo, I am going to ride the Caleb Williams hype from last week into this week. Give me the Bears at home over Carolina.
That's not really a surprise. I believe in the Rifle, and I believe that people are still upset about, I'm talking about Panthers players, are really upset about being labeled as losers and the worst in the league and all that kind of stuff. So I'm gonna go with Carolina, barely, but I'm gonna go Carolina.
The good news is, thanks to Trevor Lawrence, they're technically not the worst in the league right now. Jets Vikings, 9:30. This one from London. We've got why would we send the Jets to London? Anyway, the Minnesota Vikings are 4-0. The Minnesota Vikings are going to lay their sweet heads down to sleep on Sunday night. Lonzo, 5-0. Sam Darnold outduels Aaron Rodgers. Vikings win in London.
Sunday morning, right?
Yeah, 9:30 in the damn morning.
I think you said Sunday
night. Maybe we'll have power by then. No, I said they'll go to sleep Sunday night.
Okay.
5-0.
All right, well, unless they're like a day ahead. I can't remember the time difference. I think this is going to be a good game. Minnesota is undefeated for a reason, though. So, I mean, Minnesota is going to win this game.
Yeah, but former Carolina Panthers quarterback Samuel Darnold.
But if the Jets were to win, it wouldn't surprise me.
I would agree with that. Minnesota's only a 2.5-point favorite in this one. No home team, so they believe the Vikings are just 2.5 points better.
Can old legs and arms handle the jet lag?
It's a good question. Jet lag. Is New York, wow. New York Jets.
That was not intentional.
Ravens Bengals at 1:00. Baltimore 2.5-point favorites in this one. The Bengals have one win. It's over Carolina. Carolina was competitive. Give me Lamar. Derrick Henry got it going. He found the stroke. Everybody in front of Derrick Henry is in trouble now. Ravens win this game easy.
I don't think records matter that much when it comes to these two teams playing each other. So I'm going to just go the opposite of you and go with Cincinnati.
Fair enough. Dolphins, Patriots. Patriots had the win in week one over Cincinnati, but since then we found out that Cincinnati's not that good. The Dolphins aren't either, however. Jacoby Brissett will get the nod once again.
Is this the most not watchable game?
Yes, by a lot. Of the weekend, dude. Duke, Georgia Tech is more exciting than Dolphins, Patriots.
If you told me in order to get my power back on, I'd have to watch this game, I would reluctantly watch this game. But I mean, that's probably the only reason that I would watch this game.
I'd rather watch this game than be involved in a poop-nado, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. Oh, sorry, poop-cano.
Poop-cano.
Got to get it right.
Don't bring up that video because that disturbed you a bunch.
But it's just slightly better than the poop-cano.
Okay. All right.
All right, just slightly. Browns, Commanders.
Wait. Who you got?
A nap. I will take a nap
before I watch this game. I'll go with New England.
This game, I have 7 TVs in my bro cave.
None of which work right now.
None of which work right now. But if the power's back on Sunday, I have 7 TVs in the bro cave. I will turn one of them off before I watch this game. All right? Browns Commanders at 1 o'clock. Jaden Daniels continues his march to the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Award, which I'm not saying he's going to win, but that's only because I don't know if he's going to get hurt or not. Give me Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. They're a field goal favorite. I'll take the cover. The Browns stink.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Colts, Jags. The Colts 2-2. Anthony Richardson up in the air. Don't know what that hip is going to mean for him. The Jags, however, are bad. Lonzo? They win a game here. Give me the Jaguars at the house.
No way. Sunshine might be heading towards the bench when they get the number one pick and pick another quarterback.
If they lose this game, I think you got to start thinking about it, honestly. Now, I will say this. I do think it's a little bit Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator, but at the same time, I'm watching this guy miss wide receivers wide open in the end zone. Last week was the first week I went, I don't know if Trevor Lawrence has got it. I will take him to win this one. It's been something, what has it been, like a year and a half? 2 years since he's won a game? Something ridiculous? Give me Trevor Lawrence to break that streak. He wins this one. Bills, Texans at 1 p.m. on Sunday as well. So Josh Allen gets it done over C.J. Stroud.
All right, just because I'm not going to go against C.J. had a really bad outing like two weeks ago or something like that. Josh Allen's due for a bad game. I mean, he's proven everybody wrong. I think this is a shootout. I'm going to go with C.J. just because of ties.
I'm just happy you're giving him some credit at all. I'll take it.
No, like last week I started saying, "Hey, he's doing he's doing what he needs to do with less and he's proven something to me."
You did.
He's not exactly 3. Correct. He's not 3 Josh Allens yet.
Just 2?
Yeah, 2.
Raiders Broncos battle of 2-2 teams. Bo Nix still the starting guy. You know what? Screw it. Give me the stash. Gardner Minshew and the Raiders get, assuming he's got the start, they may go to O'Connell at some point. But the Raider defense up front makes Bo Nix's life a living hell in this one. Give me the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders too.
Cardinals 49ers at 4:05 on Fox. No CMC. He's over in Germany getting his knees scoped out. It's not good for Christian McCaffrey right now. I don't think he's coming back this year. I think he may be done at this point. When you start, as Mina Kimes said, when you start saying words about the injury that I've never heard before and you're flying to the other side of the freaking globe to find somebody that can miracle fix you, I think you're cooked. That being said, the Cardinals are 1-3 for a reason. Give me the 49ers.
Same here.
Packers Rams at 4:25. I was back and forth on this game. I don't really know. Jordan Love in the game looked real bad last week. The Rams started out hot and then kind of fallen off. Here's all I'm going to say yesterday, Lonzo. I opened up a pack of Skittles. The first 5 that came out were green and yellow. Give me the Packers.
All right,
literally my only reason.
Rams got, well, they have some of those same colors, but I'm going with Rams anyway.
Giants Seahawks at 4:25. The Seahawks favored by 6.5. Danny Dimes and the G-Men did get a win. I don't care. Seattle.
I'm going to go Giants, just because we have some rich people who listen to the show or fans of the Giants.
Cowboys Steelers is your Sunday night contest. Listen, I appreciate, respect everything Justin Fields has been doing.
No, you don't. You do not.
Yes, I do. I have given him credit, just like you've given that
guy.
What's his face? That other guy we were just talking about. Josh Allen credit. I'm giving it to Justin Fields. Cowboys win this game.
No way. This is an old-time rivalry, and I'm going Steelers.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, when Lonzo and I return on Monday, he'll be adorned in the red, white, and yellow, me in the classic black and gold, as the Saints and the Chiefs have a Monday night contest. The problem is, we're the Saints.
I don't need your pointy fingers, okay? That's pointing up. All right. The first thing that's X-ing is Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. There are thoughts. Is he on the list of people who might return this weekend?
He's been spotted in Atlanta. And there are pictures out there and people saying, no, this is not an old photo. This was taken 20 minutes ago. He's in Atlanta.
This is interesting. Cody Rhodes was on the Pat McAfee podcast. That's what I'm going for.
I would consider that a big guy.
Oh, for sure. McAfee was on the Pat McAfee pod. McAfee asked if the big guy was going to return this weekend. Cody Rhodes said, which the big guy? And McAfee, being the promoter mind that he is, said, nope, nothing else. I don't want to know anything else, and walked away from that conversation. And now Brock's showing up in Atlanta. Of all the names that could be the big guy, he's the one I hope it's the least, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it depends on what he does.
That's also fair.
All right, the next thing is try to stay away from this, but there's no way I can not say this because when I see something that I will be saying on the air for the very first time, Jewish space lasers. I mean, how can you not say that? Even though I couldn't say it well, Jewish space lasers.
You know, I do a real good job of keeping the politics off this show, unless it's just a story you just can't avoid it.
I mean, as I said, I'm equal opportunity. I don't care what side you're on. That's just
that's a thing that you say should immediately DQ you from being in any position of power. That person should not be in charge of running
feasible, I believe, because we were going to put up the Star Wars defense system at one point when I was younger, and I don't think we did that. There are some satellites up there that are defense satellites, so I believe it's a possibility. It's just a combination of Jewish space lasers. I couldn't pass that up.
It's still funny. It does make me laugh every time I hear that combination of words.
All right, and it's hard to say. Maybe it's just me. All right, the next thing is Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, 509 passing yards, 4 tutties through the air last night. I imagine that Kirk Cousins is going victory shopping at Kohl's today because that's a good damn night.
Maybe they laid some extra Kohl's cash on him for that kind of 500 yards, dude. I mean,
Kirk Cousins, Pete Alonso, all hitting the Costco together this weekend.
There you go. And finally, the last thing, reluctantly, Joker 2.
Lonzo said it was one of the worst movies he's ever seen.
The more I think about it, it might be the worst.
I'm still going to go see it in theaters. And only because, respectfully and lovingly, you and I subjectively have disagreed. We agree on a lot of movies. We've disagreed on a lot, including the first Joker, which you said you liked the last 15 minutes of. I really liked that whole movie, so I'm still going to see it.
They should have stopped.
I get the impression that a lot of feeling about this movie is going to be generationally impacting.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I think so.
No. And I've been seeing more. The writing is horrible. I mean, it's very bad writing.
Okay.
And it's just, it's not. I mean, the plot, it just, I do care about those things, the plot and the writing, and they were bad. The songs were good. I mean, that's some people complain about that. Joaquin Phoenix can sing. If that was actually him, I was shocked.
We'll find out. I am gonna go.
If you
see.
Like the old standards, I mean, you know, that's what they're singing. So
I'm here for it. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. I wish you all the best. I wish you extended periods of electricity. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back tomorrow. No, we'll be back on Monday after the weekend's over to review the weekend here on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. Later!